Hello, everyone, and welcome to Watch the Film Podcast's film review of The Iron Claw. My name is Scott.
And I'm Steve.
And we are coming together. I'm quite excited for this one.
Yeah, same here.
I like a bit of the old wrestling. Save
the best till last year.
Yeah. We've recorded a few reviews, just to add context to that comment.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Said the best till last. It's not the last ever episode.
Yeah. I was getting at you. That's it.
That's it. It's been emotional. Thanks, guys. It's been a ride. God, we ended with Madam Web. And then...
No, but if we were to end it, then this would be the one to end it on because I think it's quite poignant, really.
It's not the last one, though. It's not the last film.
But what are we talking about, Scott?
Oh, yeah, The Iron Claw. But before we talk about The Iron Claw, where can people find all of our other
On all major podcast providers.
They certainly can. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Watch the Film Pod. Wrestling. Stephen, the old WWF, as it was once upon a time known. Are you a wrestling fan?
I've seen it. I was a massive wrestling fan when I was younger.
Yeah.
And then I just went off it. And I'll tell you a story. I just fizzled out of it when John Cena came on the scene in the early 2000s. That's the one.
Yeah.
But when he came on the scene, I was like, I've had enough of wrestling. I'd sort of, before that, sort of just sort of dwindled away from it. And then
I think you're underselling that, I'll be honest with you. 80s and 90s, you was a big wrestling fan.
I was a massive fan in the 80s and 90s. Yeah. Massive wrestling fan. Attitude Era, all that. Anyone who knows wrestling will know what I'm talking about. But then something changed and I started going out, started having a bit of a life and that side of it, you know. But just totally went the complete opposite. Then something happened, I think WrestleMania 25, I'm going to say. I think you watched it and you said, oh, you got to watch it. And I was like, I watched wrestling for about 9 years. Put it on.
And then instantly back into it
to the point where
you had your spandex on, you had your boots on, you were
what
there.
What are you talking about? Yeah. I was back into wrestling, started watching it again, and it's just in the background now. I just dip in and out, watch it on YouTube, that sort of thing. But I follow it, and we are wrestling fans, me and you, and both the boys are, Ben and Jack. And we watch all the main events, the big main events, don't we? So we are wrestling fans. It was quite funny, actually, because we watched WrestleMania 25, and I was like, oh, this is so good, this is awesome, this is brilliant. And Tracy was like, didn't even like wrestling. I was like, you didn't know I like wrestling. Yeah. Yeah, it was quite funny, like, you didn't know I liked it, but yeah.
You're obviously a little bit older than me.
Yes.
So I got onto wrestling mid-90s, if you like. Obviously, I had the influence of yourself, from that point of view. But yeah, similar journey. Late 90s, as it became, like you say, the Attitude Era, and it was a bit more edgy, wasn't it?
And very edgy.
It was a bit more cool.
Yeah.
There's probably one way to describe it, wasn't it?
That's right.
And then I went through school liking it. Some of my friends liked it and stuff. Reached that point where I dropped off it a little bit, and then I came around.
It's quite funny because most people who was really into, you get a lot of people who was really into wrestling back then. I do it now. I talk to people at work and they're like, I used to watch it. It was yesterday. And then they're now starting to get back into it again. Sort of come back round again. And it's
interesting.
It's quite fashionable again.
And to bring it onto this film.
Well, that's why we're talking about this.
Yeah, yeah. And I will use that as a little segue there, because somebody at work, I mentioned about this, and they said, like, oh, we're not going to go and see it. My boys didn't like wrestling. And to me, you don't need to like wrestling to go and enjoy this film. You know, so top level, this was a very, very good film.
Yeah.
But I feel you almost go through like the phases of being a wrestling fan, if you like, right?
Yeah.
Because when you're a child, it is these heroes and villains and you don't understand the way it operates and the way it works.
Yeah.
As I've got older and you learn that the outcomes are predetermined, and it's on who's the most popular and terror. And then you look into the older history
which is set
in the 70s and 80s, isn't it? And it is about territories and traveling around the country and people being booked to perform in different parts of the states, blah, 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 blah. I find all that really, really interesting.
I find it really fascinating. Yeah.
And the political side of it all and how, you know, the controversy in some of it and the decision-making processes that they must go through. And you look back through history, all these wrong choices where they probably should have put the belt on this person at that time because they were the most popular. You know,
and
I like that side of it.
You're saying put the belt on someone. So that's, in the old days, well, even now really, but putting the belt on someone is seen as being the
it's promoting them to be the top person.
Guy who we think who can promote our promotion, if you like, who can go out there and sell it and is the top star, we reward them by putting the belt on them. So to get that you know, to get that...
One way to describe it? It's like Adidas make the kit for Manchester United, for example, right? Probably not the best example because they're doing not very well at the minute, but they don't choose the 16-year-old academy prospect who no one's ever heard of to put on the market.
The big star, isn't
it? The big names, the David Beckhams, the Bruno Fernandes, the Ronaldo. And that's kind of what wrestling does. And they put the main title on that person who is the one that everyone flocks to see.
Yeah, the people, the stars. They make a star of somebody and then that's the guy who they invest in. So people all have heard, most people have heard of Hulk Hogan in the 80s in WWF. He was the guy that drove it. Vince McMahon, the owner of the WWF at the time, he pushed... Hulk Hogan and pushed his franchise and bought up all the territories and basically made Hulk what was classed as Hulkamania and made a star of Hulk Hogan. And then you've seen it again with the likes of in the years that followed off that, The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and the same with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and the same with John Cena, and now obviously the modern day Roman Reigns. You go back to this is going back to, like you say, the territories. So there were territories
is a completely different world. Yeah, it's completely different than what it is now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a soap opera because it's weekly on TV now, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, So back in the day, the territories were set up that every territory had a wrestling promoter. So Dallas had a wrestling promoter, which was Fritz Von Erich, which is who this film's about, and his family. Canada had the Hearts, which was... Stu Hart. He was a promoter down there. You had Jim Crockett in the South. You had all these different promotions, all these different people. Jerry Jarrett was one. You had all these different people who were these famous promoters around America. And what would happen is that, like you've touched on there, just to touch on it again. Sorry, I'm saying sorry because I've knocked my microphone over.
Rips the microphone out, ready to hit me.
Let me tell you something, bro. Yeah. But basically, what you had back then was these different territories, and the main guy would promote and go around all the territories. So the main star would go around. So to get that title to be the main guy was seen as the pinnacle. You know, you are the NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance champion for the whole of America. Mm. Who would tour around all these, and that's seen as the
Can
the
I
top
just
prize.
Jump in as well? Yeah. Because yeah. I feel like in this, again, you say there, the focus on this film is the Von Erich family.
That's right, yeah.
And who's he called? Sorry,
Fritz Von Erich.
So I got the impression, and I have this idea based on other things you know as well, that it was a very family, like almost a pride thing within that the family. So
in this one,
well, just in general. So like you look at the Hearts, you know, there's tons of brothers that were
that was in wrestling,
and they wanted to be the top dog. And then you look at the Von Erichs in this one, the Rhodes family. There's links there, isn't there, as well and stuff. But
to be the son of a promoter, and you're almost bred into this sort
exactly,
of environment.
And to me, the father. Is essentially, like you said, he's breeding these kids to continue the name.
Yeah.
And to be that
We're kind of jumping off there, but what I wanted to say was, I was just saying about the territories and how it's set up. This one starts off, I think, in the 1960s, and it shows you this Fritz Von Erich, who was this big star. I can't remember what his name was originally, but he changed his name to Fritz Von Erich because he was what's classed as a face and a heel. A face is somebody who's a good guy, a heel's the bad guy. And he was a heel...
It's like a full-on wrestling podcast. Yeah,
well, we've got to get this right, haven't we? I'm going to go for it. So to be a heel, he was seen as a... I think at the time he was like a Nazi, and he was his name was Fritz Von Erich, and he used to go out there, and he was such an offensive and such a brutal wrestler.
Actually,
but that was his character that he portrayed, and he was such a brutal character. And the start of the film shows you that, and it shows you that they haven't got much money, him and his family. And he's been out and bought the most lavish car. It kind of shows what the guy's about. Like his wife says, how can we afford to rent this? And, well, if you're going to be the top star, you've got to rent.
You've got to look like
a star, that sort of thing. So you can almost see that straight away. As the story progresses, you see like a flash forward now, and it starts in the 70s, late 70s. And you see that the Fritz Von Erich now has got his own promotion. He's retired from wrestling. He's too old now. He's retired, but now he's a promoter. and he's got a cable deal. He's got a TV show in Dallas, and he's based in Dallas, Texas. And the Von Erichs, he's got his sons that are becoming, have got into wrestling. He's got his so there's been a little bit of tragedy in the past that his son, one of his children had died when he was six. But they've carried on having a family, and this child had died when he was six, and it is touched upon. But the second son now, David Von Erich, he's become a wrestler, mm-hmm. Played by Zac Efron, and he's absolutely like
jacked
up, bulked up, you know. And he's a really good wrestler, and he's a real big star, and he's already becoming a big star in his dad's promotion, his dad's territory. And then one by one, he wants all his sons to sort of become these wrestlers and all mm-hmm. be part of it and carry on that legacy. But all he's bothered about, so in terms of the story, because this story is a biopic, but it's loosely based, because there's some characters that aren't in the film that were in real life. Were there. And mainly because of the tragedy that's involved, it was the story of the Von Erichs is actually so sad and so tragic that you kind of spared a little bit of it by even not putting a certain brother into the film. And basically the film is about these brothers, and it's about the hold that the dad has on them, and the way that he maybe even controls them to some extent, or the way that he you know, just the family dynamic.
That's the way
of
he's navigating them, isn't
yeah,
it?
The family dynamic and the way that he navigates his kids, and he just wants them, like you said, just bred to be carry
the
on
next
the name.
Performer,
and all he seems to be really concerned about is you know,
he's having one of his kids have the top title,
have the, and he doesn't really care which one it is.
To the point where he's quite happy just to swap them out.
Yeah.
He'll openly tell one of them that, oh, you're going to be the one that's going to be the next big thing.
Yeah,
and then
that's right.
From
yeah.
underneath him, he pulls the rug from underneath him and puts the other one because the opportunity
there's a lot in this film that we're not, I don't want to go too heavily into it. I'm quite glad that we talked about the dynamic of wrestling, how it was then, how it is now, and how things are slightly different, and how it's all set up, and how this helps anyone walking into this film to understand and appreciate it. I don't want to touch too much on the spoilers.
No,
because all I want to say is really that that kind of sets up the film. For anyone who doesn't know about the Von Erichs, they're all famous in America at the time in the 70s. They were seen like superstars. They were seen like, you know, the groups of people, groupies would hang out outside the stadium and get their autographs and things like that. And that's kind of where they were back then. The Von Erich name, I always knew there was tragedy on it. There is a tragic story there, and this film is very, very sad. I'll just say now, I was in tears at the end of it. I've watched it again because I've been to see it again. Mm. I was in tears at the end of it the second time. It's such a good film. In fact, I've even gone on YouTube and watched
bits of it
again, because it's so good. It's so
sad,
but it's also so, what's the word? Is it cathartic?
Cathartic,
get the words wrong. But that you take something from it, it's so, you know.
I felt the film, like focusing on like the film side of it, did a really good job of portraying a lot of the sad moments there.
Yeah.
It drew
you
in. And like you say, because you said to me, oh, do you know about the story? I said, I know nothing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go in blind. And I felt it did a good job of grabbing the viewer.
Yeah.
To feel those emotional moments. You felt so sorry for certain characters at certain stages. And just like you say, I think the whole film was that experience. It was, and in a way, a lot of the stories from that world are like that. It's not a very nice world that
it's not. You listen to people who are in podcasts now will talk about back then. I've read a lot of ex-wrestlers' books where they've wrote about things, and
even more
such
recent stuff that comes to light.
Yeah.
It's still not a very.
It's not a,
nice,
it's not a nice,
not a good
industry, is it?
Industry,
to be
no,
in, yeah.
No.
But there's so much tragedy involved in wrestling that you see it nowadays, that you see all these ex-wrestlers that they, you know, well, there's a lot. Yeah, I don't want to go too in depth, but simply for me, right, there's some really good performances in this. I can't remember the names. I'm just going to have a quick look now.
Yeah.
But the guy who was in the Bear, what's his name? Is it Jeremy Allen White? Jeremy Allen White in it's fantastic. He plays one of the brothers, Kerry Von Erich. Mm-hmm. Zac Efron as Kevin Von Erich. Harris Dickinson as David Von Erich. He's the second oldest son. And then the other one for me I thought was brilliant was the guy who played Mike.
Yeah. I thought all four of the boys were phenomenal. I thought all four
I can't find his name anymore, but the guy who played Mike was brilliant. You're gonna find it for us,
I'll
aren't
save,
you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Stanley Simmons, he's a newcomer. Veteran newcomer really. But Stanley Simmons was absolutely amazing as Mike. Now, like I said, there's this curse the curse of the Von Erichs. Fritz Von Erich was a wrestling promoter who had so many sons, and something happens to all these sons in different various ways throughout the course of the film. But the film is so sad and so tragic, but it's also lovely as well because it's that friendship and that bond between the brothers. That's all they want to do is just hang out together and just be brothers, and it's that bond between them all. Again, I've tried to do this and talk to you about it as a non-spoiler because I really want people to go out there and watch it.
Yeah, I agree.
This film as well for me, as sort of it's come and gone. It's sort of come along. It's still out there, but it's not had the promotion that it should do, really. I think a lot of it, like you mentioned there, about your friend at work or your colleague at work who said about, it's wrestling. Because it's got that wrestling story to it, people maybe will do it. Like, wrestling has shied away from it. And it's quite sad, really, that it's really sad that people haven't seen it. You remember last year, we watched the George Foreman film.
Yeah.
That was really good, but that was like a TV movie. Mm. This one isn't.
Oh, this is a proper
this
film.
This is a proper movie. It handles everything so well, done in such a lovely way.
It was made really well, and I also liked the nods, if you like, and the authenticity of the way that the wrestling was presented.
Yeah.
So a lot of the graphics cards for what the 80s. Yeah,
it
looks
kind of
like
that.
It looks very authentic.
They actually did wrestle. So I've seen a little bit behind the scenes and stuff, and I watched a few bits. I kind of clocked it straight away because you see one of the names that comes up on the screen, Chavo Guerrero Jr. So Chavo Guerrero is from the famous Guerrero family.
Another
wrestling family. And he was one of the choreographers, the fight choreographers for it. And he actually got them to wrestle a match. So Zac Efron and him he played the Iron Sheik in it. Mm-hmm. And in one of the matches that they did, and he actually wrestled the match and he taught him how to wrestle. So what you've seen on the screen for a wrestling fan is just what you would see.
You say,
the cards, the titles, the commentary, everything is done like that. But it's not all about the wrestling. It's all about the family dynamic as well.
There's only about 10 minutes of wrestling, quote unquote wrestling, isn't it?
It's all the rest of it.
The full film's story, yeah.
Right. So for me, what I'm going to say is Zac Efron. I've never been a massive Zac Efron fan, but watching this, I was absolutely bowled over by his performance. I thought it was so good. I really did. The full way the film was directed was fantastic. The score was brilliant. It's arguably, at the moment it certainly is, but it's arguably going to be up there for my best film of the year.
Early score, it'll be in my top five. I mean, we're only in February, I suppose. But
what's really interesting...
Early days, it's looking good.
Yeah. What is really interesting is, I've been watching a lot on YouTube of these, and you know when you see people who watch their reaction to these films, there's more and more, every day there's more and more of these going on because I think it's going to end up being like maybe even a cult classic, or it's going to be one that, you know, like how Shawshank Redemption came out. I'm not comparing this to Shawshank, I'm just using this as an example. How Shawshank came out in 1994 was a massive flop and it didn't really succeed, but that word of mouth got going and people bought into it and was like, oh wow, what's this film? And people, it's now like, you know, it's arguably again one of the top films of all time. I'm not saying this is the same, but what I'm saying is it's got that same feel to it.
You know what?
I think
the
more
this?
People, word of mouth, the more people that watch this will be like, oh my God, that was so good.
So this is an A24 film, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So that'll help it because they're almost at the minute like the flavour company where an A24, well, certainly my generation, if you like.
Yeah.
I look and, oh, it's an A24 film. That's interesting. I'll have a look at what that is.
Yeah.
You look at some of the things that are on their catalogue. Midsummer, that's one of those films that it's often people go back to that. Like,
yeah,
have you never seen that? Oh, you've got to see that. But probably at the time, it wasn't.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you know, didn't draw massive numbers. they did Hereditary. That's another one of those films that's like that. And then you look at some of the things that they've got coming out. They've got the, what's the one, the Civil War.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's A24. So it's interesting that their library's growing, and this will be one of those films that will probably be accessed, will be seen for the first time long after it's been at cinema, which is good, because that's what you, a film shouldn't just come and go and then be forgotten about. It should live on, shouldn't it? So it'll be interesting to see how this does grow over time. Yeah. And I agree with you. It could be one of those things that in 2-3 years' time, it's like underrated gems.
Yeah.
This might be in that conversation.
It was
a very good film. Yeah.
Just one more thing that I just wanted to add to it as well was, for me, I knew the story of Kerry Von Erich. I knew him because I knew him as a wrestler in back then in 1991 as the Texas Tornado. Kerry Von Erich, who was in the WWF. There's something happens in the film, and I didn't even know that. And I was like, oh my God, how did... this is like, we're going back, what, over 30 years. How did I not even know that?
Yeah, I know what I mean.
I was gobsmacked by it.
I also didn't know that.
Gobsmacked. To the point where I've gone and watched it, and Ben's done the same. I mean, he was watching something the other day, and he was like, oh, well, you wouldn't know. So, like I said, that's not putting spoilers there. But again, I urge anyone to go out. If you enjoy films, go out and watch this one. Try and seek this one out if it's streaming or when it's on streaming, or if it's still on at cinema, go and see it because it is. It's such a good film.
And equally,
there's some tragedy in there. Don't get me
wrong.
It's a heavy film. But the message, the underlying message between family bonds and between brotherhood and that in it, it's so sad, so tragic, and again so heartwarming as well. I think in a way.
But equally, don't be put off by the fact that it's wrestling.
Yeah, don't just think, oh God, I'm not the wrestling film. I get, I understand
it's not everyone's cup of tea,
and I get that as well.
But don't let that put you off what is an excellent film here. Yeah. You know, it's like a football film.
Yeah,
if it's a football film, people are sometimes switched off. It doesn't matter. This is not... The wrestling is very much secondary to the story of the bonds and the family. I think that's a nice way to round it up.
No, it's good. It's a good film.
Definitely worth checking out.
Fantastic. And I'm glad we've done about 3 or 4 podcasts tonight just to sort of tidy up over the last few weeks what we've watched. And I'm really glad we saved this till last.
It was a
really good film. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Brilliant. Okay.
Speaking of those other podcasts.
Those really brilliant podcasts we do.
Where can people find them?
On all major podcast providers.
They can. Yeah. And you can search for us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter by searching for What's the Film Pod. Thank you very much for listening. Definitely go and check out the Iron Claw.
And this isn't the last one, is it? We're not...
No, that was just a joke. That wasn't really a joke that became a joke. Shouldn't have been a joke.
No, it shouldn't be a joke.
See you on the next one.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Take care. Bye.